Now.
Yeah. So I'd like to call meeting to order of the HTC Audit Committee. And the first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on May 21st, 2020. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Second? I guess I'll second. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? There being none, the motion carries. Okay, Rich Froelich, you can go over the agenda items, please.
Sure. We'll start with a little bit of an update on COVID. Then we'll have Chuck providing us with the June 2020 financial summary report. Then I will give you the debt and investment reports. And then Mary Hom will give you the credit risk report and also internal audit report.
Okay. The COVID-19 update is the next item.
Yeah,
I could start with that if that works for folks. And as we just noted in the minutes that we met, this it'll be a little bit briefer here because we met in May and had somewhat of an update. It's still kind of an ongoing situation of watchful waiting. We'll say a little bit more in the actual board note comments. It's a holding pattern in the sense that a lot of what's happening is dependent upon what has been happening at the federal level in terms of ongoing income support and people paying rents to our projects, and our ability to service debt through that. So more to come on that, but it is, I think Rich will say some more about that in just a minute. In terms of kind of operations, as you heard in May, we did a very good job of getting out of the office, going online. Virtually everything we need to do, we can do remotely. Our priority at that point was getting people out of the office safely and making sure that people could do their jobs and be supported in doing that, and we've done that. And I have to say that all of the teams, all of the HTC teams and staff have been just absolutely incredible, incredibly flexible, incredibly skilled at what they do and adaptable. But also, as we pointed out internally to ourselves, it's moments like this when you know, everything that you used to just do routinely takes so much more thought and work and consideration and figuring stuff out. And so in addition to what we do day to day, there's just been a lot of that kind of work that goes on as well. So again, more in the larger board meeting, but if there's questions, we'll take them. And I think Rich might add to that on the asset management side in particular, and maybe capital markets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the corporation is functioning well, and you'll see when Chuck does the financial summary report that the finances are good and strong. Our borrowers are generally up to date and paying. We've had to provide a fair amount of financial support, not financial support, but provide additional support and allowing people to draw on reserves and the like that we hold for them. But overall, things have been pretty smooth. But as Eric says, we're watchful and concerned, and obviously we hope that Congress will act shortly to provide additional support that will help a lot of the tenants in New York City as well as throughout the country. But generally, things are good, and we'll provide some additional information today that will give you a clearer picture of that. Are there any questions?
If there are none, then we'll go into the June 2020 financial summary report. Mary John?
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I'm pleased to submit an update of the corporation's financial activities as of June 30th, 2020. The corporation's financial activities continue to exhibit few negative effects from the ongoing economic decline due to the COVID-19 pandemic, although we remain concerned as the pandemic extends into the months ahead. Mortgage loan repayments as of June 30th were relatively back to normal. One exception to the positive news was the low earnings on investments, as rates have seen a noticeable decline over the past 4 months. The financial activities of the first 8 months of the fiscal year resulted in an increase in net position by $174.4 million. Total revenues were $463.2 million, an increase of $12.2 million over the same period a year ago. Interest on loans was $325.3 million, an increase of $32.5 million from June 2019. As a result of the increase in the mortgage loan portfolio by $1.6 billion. Fees and charges were $48.4 million, a decrease of $17.3 million, mainly due to lower loan origination fees and bond financing fees. Investment earnings, including the fair market valuation, was $70.9 million, a decrease of $17.7 million in total. The decrease includes a $7.1 million decrease in realized investment earnings as a result of lower interest rates. Despite the better-than-expected recent results, the corporation remains vigilant and will continue to track the key economic indicators that may affect the repayments on the mortgage portfolio, and in turn, the ability to maintain this level of profitability. Total assets were $22.9 billion, including $17 billion in mortgage loans and loan participating interest, and investments of $5.5 billion. Total assets increased by $1.3 billion, mainly due to $2 billion in mortgage loan advances, offset by $460 million in principal repayments. The total liabilities were $19.6 billion, including $12.7 billion in bonds and debt obligations. Payables to the city was $4.8 billion, and payable to mortgagor of $1.2 billion. Bonds and debt obligation issuance were $1.2 billion, while repayments were $936 million. Net position was at $3.3 billion, an increase of $174 million for net income from normal operating activities. This concludes my comment. If anybody has any questions?
Any questions? There being none, next time is a debt report to Rich.
Thank you. In front of you have the debt report as of June 30th, 2020. Since April 30, 2020, the corporation issued four series of open resolution bonds totaling $301.5 million and two series of standalone bonds in the amount of $95.9 million. Five series of open resolution bonds were redeemed in the amount of $101.5 million, and five standalone bond series in the amount of $95.9 million were also redeemed. The corporation's debt outstanding as of June 30th is approximately $12.7 billion. The statutory debt capacity stands at $14.5 billion. Are there any questions?
Well, if there are no questions, then we'll go to the investment report.
Sure. Thank you. So in front of you have the corporation's investment report as of July 13th, 2020. Funds under management total approximately $5.5 billion, and the report reflects routine investment activity. Are there any questions?
Okay. Again, there being none. Credit risk exposure, Mary?
Thank you. So the report before you is dated June 30th, 2020, and the last report to the audit committee was dated April 30th, 2020. There were no new additions to the list of counterparties, and there were no rating agency actions of note. HDC's counterparty exposure remains diversified, with the largest exposures continuing to be with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Investments rated AA or higher were 55% of total investments versus 49% at the last report, while investments rated BBB or not rated were 28% of total investments versus 32% at the last report. And these investments are fully collateralized by high-quality U.S. Treasury or agency securities and or Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. Finally, HDC's exposure to liquidity providers remains unchanged since the last report. Any questions?
Any questions? Again, there being none, Mary, the internal audit report.
Thank you. So I will be presenting one audit report, and then I'll provide an update on the 2020 audit plan. Since the last report to the audit committee, the FHA Risk Share Program reporting requirements process audit was completed. At the request of the head of asset management, internal audit was asked to examine the FHA Risk Share Program reporting requirements and determine whether or not HDC is fulfilling those requirements in the most efficient and streamlined manner. Upon completion of this process audit, we determined that there are opportunities for improvement in fulfilling FHA Risk Share Program reporting requirements. This process requires collaboration amongst various departments within the organization, and we made recommendations regarding coordination and leadership on this process. We have engaged with the legal department to help develop a comprehensive checklist of requirements, and this process has begun. In addition, we will work closely with the asset management team to enhance the existing process for fulfilling these requirements. Any questions?
Okay.
If no questions, I'll then provide you an update of the 2020 audit plan. Staffing challenges during this pandemic have impacted the internal audit department, as one of our two staff auditors has been on medical leave since April. Our remaining auditor and I have been working to remain on track with the audit plan, but we have been challenged by the prioritization of other initiatives around the corporation. Additionally, internal audit has shifted its focus to other projects prompted by this pandemic, such as updating the corporation's business continuity plan, and we've been working in earnest on the PII initiative. We feel this focus is warranted and will provide overall benefit to the corporation. Regarding the PII initiative, this is one of the special projects on our audit plan this year, and we recognize this as an area of concern to the audit committee. We have formulated a working group consisting of representatives from various departments which handle PII, and we have been meeting on a monthly basis since January. Thus far, we have identified the various types of PII that is gathered by HDC, as well as all areas of the organization which house PII. Our next steps will include developing protocols for securing PII and pushing out employee training on how to identify and secure this sensitive information. One notable change to the audit plan pertains to the two audits we expected to outsource this year. At the time the work-from-home directive was announced, we were finalizing an RFP for the two specialized HR audits on our plan. In light of COVID, we decided to postpone this part of the plan, as we didn't think outsourcing of these audits was feasible as we made the shift to remote work. We hope to restart the RFP process before year-end. Finally, as we start the annual risk assessment process, I will be reaching out to schedule one-on-one discussions with each member of the audit committee in the coming weeks. I thank you in advance for your participation, and I look forward to these engaging discussions. That concludes my update. Are there any questions?
Any questions? Yeah, clearly it's mandatory during these abnormal times that the priorities have to be established. You can't be every place at once, so
exactly.
fully understandable.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. That brings us to the last item, which is any other business. There is no other business, and I'd like to call for a motion to adjourn the meeting. Second. Bob?
Sorry, second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and the meeting is adjourned.